For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, everybody. Pull up to the curb. Step out. Lean against the fender. You're listening to episode 441 of Shift and Steer. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
Matt, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Yeah, been good. Been kind of running around, busy.
Hey, you know what? I'm Thursday this morning, so it made me think of something. I saw you did really well down at Huntington Beach with some of your bravado, huh?
Yes, thanks for bringing that up. We got into 5 Southern California Total Wine and More locations and doing some tasting events at those locations, and we've been selling out the product. So you can find the stores on our website, drinkbravago.com, but Southern California friends, you know, love to go in and buy it or pop in for a tasting event. We're in Huntington Beach, Redondo Beach, Long Beach, Culver City, and the Carmel Mountain location in San Diego. So those are the 5 locations, and they're on the website as well. Yeah, Carmel.
Good. Congratulations. Carmel Mountain. That sounds good. Well, you know, that's what people need for summertime, and beach communities like that are perfect because they're looking for something to throw in the cooler and
And I like doing the tasting events because I think our product is different and I think it's better when people come by and try it. And when we stand in front of the hard seltzer aisle and people are grabbing Mike's hard lemonade, I'm like, before you buy that, try ours. Try our strawberry lemon. Try our lemonade. It's better. And people are like, oh, yeah, that is good. I'll buy it.
Not to mention, I know you don't market it this way and you never would, of course. But, you know, a lot of beaches, you can't have alcohol. Heck, it just looks like a can of soda.
It kind of does look like a can of soda.
They can get away with it. You know, Mike's Hard Lemonade, they'd be like, you know, some cop would be like, I know that's alcohol. You got to pour it out. No, just enjoying my Bravago soda here, officer. So anyways, perfect thing for the lake or the beach. Hey, on last Saturday, they had the, they did have it on Saturday. I'll regress. Saturday, Art Center College of Design had the public grand opening of the Mullen Transportation Center up in Pasadena. This was at their South Campus, and quite the facility. But I was lucky enough to get invited to go to the Friday evening opening, which was quite spectacular. It was the official ribbon cutting, and Peter Mullen, who you've heard his voice around the car communities, and if you're not familiar with the Mullen Automotive Museum, which unfortunately just recently closed because of Peter's death, he had quite the fabulous museum, and a lot of grand cars, a lot of French coach-built cars like Delahaye's and Bugattis and things like that, art, and what was interesting about Peter and his wife was that they gave back and, gave back in a big way. And one of the things was this new campus. And pretty interesting, when you see the original photos of the building, it was originally a wind tunnel testing facility that they tested all of the original supersonic jets in. And it was pretty cool looking. Now, the wind tunnel section got tore down, but what's amazing is they renovated the building and utilized, and the way the architect did it, because it was all this fantastic beams and woodwork and everything like that, they retained that. So the new, it's almost like you hear about a facade of a building where it's something they almost put a facade inside. That's probably the best way to describe it here, because the walls only go so high so that when you look up, maybe, 3 levels up, you actually see the original roof. And pretty cool. It was a very nice event. excuse me. There was a select group of people, maybe a couple hundred people. It was a sit-down dinner that was all first class. But what was most important was there was a wooden buck made out of, I believe, mahogany for a Bugatti Atlantic. I shouldn't say that. It wasn't a Bugatti Atlantic. I'd probably be strung up if I said that around the Peter Reed who designed it. There was a chassis, and it was the last Bugatti chassis that actual Bugatti ever did, as I understand. And the body never got built. He passed away. So Peter had purchased this and for years was trying to decide what body to put on it because they had to kind of make something. It's definitely has Bugatti lines, and they did it. It was the buck for that. And across the room was the actual, and they left it in bare metal. You see all of the brass bright work, all the bare metal, and the body was made so that it could be removed and displayed 3 feet above the chassis. So you can see everything. It's spectacular. Other cars that were on display included Peter Mullen's Bugatti Atlantic, the black one. You've seen it online in magazines. It is a gorgeous car. The Acura IMSA race car was there. Dave Merrick designed the paint job for it and had his hand in the car itself. But of course, Dave, he wore a sport coat that matched the graphic paint job on the
of
car.
Of course he did. Who makes them for him?
there was some other concept cars there, like a Lincoln concept car. Then we got to tour the design studios, which are fabulous. And they had a spectacular sit-down dinner that I probably couldn't even afford the dinner. I'm telling you, Matt, it was first class. It was really nice. A lot of people that we know, Bruce Meyer was there. A lot of heads of designs of major car companies, and the Mullen, Peter Mullen's wife and his granddaughter were there. Dave Sidorek, who is a car collector. In fact, he owns Ferrari 0001, the first Ferrari ever built. Nice. But he was also a customer of mine at Boyd's. We built several cars, and he is the gentleman who donated the Aluma Coupe to the Peterson Museum.
Yeah.
So pretty cool place. If you ever get a chance to go there, I would take up the invite because it is quite a nice design center.
Yeah, it's. I haven't been there in a little while, but I've done some. Carola and I went up and like MC
to the main campus, right?
Yeah,
up in the
to
hills.
The main campus. Yeah.
South campus. If you get a chance. Yeah. Oh, and you know what was in the parking lot? Cars. One of Hennessy's supercars.
Yeah, the Venom F5.
I've never seen one in person.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
And I've got to say, this car, Dave and I were walking around it before we went through the step and repeat, and it was like, wow, this thing is, you know, really, I mean, I've always liked the photos, but in person, it really, really stands out.
Yeah, I've got a quick story about that. Let's pause that for 1 second. Let me tell you guys about Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. They have every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, just head on over to the website for their online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or one of their 150 different slot games. Just head to the website or get in on the action on their mobile app. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus off your first deposit. It's BLEAV for 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, the game starts here. Yeah, so...
Sorry. I'm back now. I was on my app playing Bet Online.
Yeah, no, it's good. You should do that while I'm
on the app.
See if you can make a little bit of money. Make sure you use that promo code. Hennessy's been working on that car for a long time, getting it to meet the performance specs and everything that he wanted. So I remember filming some stuff for it, kind of for it. So we needed to do a promo piece for it several years ago, and the car wasn't quite ready. So I needed to find something. We just needed to do like a CGI version, like a teaser of what it was. So yeah, I got a McLaren. I got a McLaren 720S. And we went up to Angeles Crest and we filmed a bunch of stuff with dots all over. We taped these dots all over.
I remember
the
when you did this. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So we could remove the car in post-production and put the Hennessy, and it came out amazing. And I was like, couldn't we just remove any car? We could have just used the van. And it just turns out that when you're driving through Angeles Crest, there's so many like trees and mountains and stuff in the background that it costs a lot more money to replace that background than it does just the car. If the car is like a similar size and shape,
you want a silhouette that's similar, right?
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Because if we had to replace, like if we had a van and we needed to put it, a sports car in its place and then fill in trees at high speed, the budget was like twice as much to do it. So you needed to find almost as close to the dimensions of that car as possible. But, and then fast forward a couple of years when we saw an engine debut at SEMA out front. I think it was part of the Shell booth.
Yes.
Before the car was out. And then I don't know, like a year later, he finally brought the car to the Quail. And we saw the car there and spoke with him, to John Hennessy, about it. And I want to say about a year or so ago, I met up with John Hennessy at Barrett-Jackson in Scottsdale. And he invited me over to come and look at the car. And then we were able to do a walk around in the car, and he got in and fired it up for me and just gave me sort of a private tour of the car. It sounds nuts. I can't wait to see how that thing.
Yeah. I'd seen the one years ago at SEMA, and it's still, like you said, it was still in the works.
Yeah.
Now seeing the final one, and it was in street trim with paint on it and, you know, really nice paint. And it was an excellent color combination as well. It had a really tasteful stripe, and, it was really, really, at first I didn't know what it was and I had to walk up on it. And then as soon as I saw Hennessy, I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And, the way the stripe went down the center, the use of the carbon fiber and, the silver color and everything like that, it just,
yeah, it looks good.
Really, really looked good. So, but
I think I have, I got John Hennessy, coming on to CarCast, the other podcast, like in a week. I think he's coming on next week.
Cool.
I want to talk about the car, but I also want to talk about his other things going on, like his tuner school program that he's been doing for a while now. We had a conversation the other day about, like what's going on with the young generation being able to work on cars. And cause it seems like every shop is hiring. You know, I was at Ray McClellan's shop, his dyno shop, Full Throttle Customs. I'm seeing Jimmy Shine posting stuff. He was trying to hire people. I think Ring Brothers trying, like shops are all trying to hire people, and they're just not getting many applicants at all. And the ones that are coming in are like looking for the education side of it and the job. And like, well, you need a little bit more experience than
that. Yeah, they want to learn on the job. No, we need people that can come in and hit the ground running. And
Hennessy's been doing his tuner school for a while. And I honestly don't know enough about it, which is why I invited him on the show. I don't know if they're doing, fabrication there, or are they leaning more into the higher, not the high end, but the futuristic side of like CAD designing and EFI tuning and stuff, or are they shaping metal over there? But anyway, it's just kind of a thought, maybe a good conversation for those guys to get in with John Hennessy. But yeah, the shops are, everybody seems to be hiring. It's just real tough.
Well, you know what? People are into buying things they can use, they can play with, and building cars that are unique. And I think that's just really great. So, You know, but not everything's great, Matt. Not everything. I just want you to know, not everything's great. Let's hope this works out good. But if you haven't been online and you only listen to our show or something like that, more than likely you've heard this already. But I mean, I know, Matt, you even posted on your social media that Willow Springs is for sale.
Yeah. The
62 years the family's owned it. It originally opened in 1953, and now, again, what used to be in the middle of nowhere is no longer in the middle of nowhere. That's the problem.
Yeah, you know, but it's still a good facility, and it's always been fairly affordable, and to do track days and for publications and now YouTubers to rent it out and do events and film stuff.
Not to mention all the commercials that have been
and,
shot.
And movies, you know, Ford v Ferrari had a lot of stuff filmed out there. And there's a handful of tracks that are there. People think of Big Willow and Streets of Willow, but there's the karting track and there's the whatever they call it. I forgot now, the horse trail portion of it. There's the oval.
There's seven different tracks out there.
Yeah. And it's cool. And I know you look at the aerial photos, you're like, it's just big slab of dirt. And yes, it is very brown out there. It's definitely very brown. But if you think about this, and I don't pretend to know sort of the business side of running a track. And I would imagine even just doing like, hey, I'm going to do some landscaping. You look at the size of the footprint that they have and how much land they have.
Think of the
600 acres. Yeah,
I mean,
600
I know
acres of landscaping is expensive. You know, yeah, they just repaved Laguna Seca, and I'm sure we can probably Google and find out what the budget was for that. I'm sure it's a lot. But yes, without having to go, hey, this thing needs $100 million and we need to turn it into thermal and we need to have condos. And like, I don't think you need to do that because then the price to use the track becomes way too high.
Yeah.
But can you improve a few things, maybe some garages, more facilities, restaurant, you know, things like that, that are there. And yes, maybe start to think a little bit about a bridge to the infield like Laguna Seca has.
Right.
So you can, you know, so you can do stuff on the infield.
Use more of it. Yes.
Yeah, you can use more of it for sure.
But,
you know, a couple thoughts like that and how can you improve it? But
one big thought is now, Matt, you and I, over the years going out there, you used to drive out of town, you hit the city limits and you drove for about a half hour to get out there. And then you turn left. There was a little gas station there and nothing till you got to the track. Now what's there?
Yeah, I don't know. I've
houses.
Been out there in a while. Probably.
There's houses.
There's some houses. Yeah.
And that's part of the problem because the people that want to live outside and commute into LA from the upper desert are now building their houses out there. It's the death knell of every racetrack. And it's still quite remote, but, you know, it's out there. But what's amazing is that what else do we have right across the other side of the freeway from Willow is the Air Force Base.
And you know, it's interesting because like you even look at the sort of the plainness of it. And I was just talking about the Hennessy stuff we filmed, which is why movies and commercials can go out there as well, because there's not so much stuff they have to remove in post-production and CGI. Like it's kind of a clean slate for them to be able to go, we need the track, we need the cars, and we can fill in stuff in the background. But yeah, now what you're talking about, like that area, like kind of building out in that area, I see this over here in Santa Monica as well. And it's kind of frustrating. It's the Santa Monica Airport is, you've been by Santa Monica.
Oh, yeah.
It's literally like right in the middle of town. It's a small airport, a lot of private aircraft, and there's a little air museum that's kind of cool. And there are some hangars where people keep car collections and stuff. Seinfeld has had cars there for a while. I want to say Gooding had a warehouse with cars there for a while.
I was going to say, most of those out there that I've been past the open doors, they all got some collector cars in them.
Yeah. And there's a good amount of like small planes, little hangars and a couple of like private jet facilities, helicopter facilities. And around the neighborhood, there are houses that have signs that are like, no airport, no jets, right, whatever. And my thought is, when did you move in? Because this house looks pretty new. Did you move in next to an airport and then posted a sign saying, I want to get rid of the airport? Like, you knew what you were doing because you're like, why is this house less expensive than the other houses in Santa Monica? Because there's an airport right there.
Exactly.
You know, and not as that it's LAX, it's the loudest thing out there, but yes, there is some amount of sound that you can expect.
And
I don't think you get to move 99% near.
99% of those people bought since, I mean, because the airport's been there probably since the 60s or older.
Yeah, you know? Right. So you want to move out in Lancaster or something near the track at Willow Springs. Fine, but don't buy a property and have a house out there or whatever, and then go, we need to get rid of the racetrack, it's too loud. I'll go, well, how much did you pay for your property? Like, what was the point? Like, you know, like, you didn't move out there because you thought it would be great to live out there. You know, you went out there because it was cheap.
Well, no, that's not true. On the other side of the freeway and about 2 miles down the road is where Gene Winfield has his about 7-acre ranch right there.
Yeah.
And he moved out there just because it could give him room and he could have his spray booth and
that is true. Yeah.
Pile cars. So,
yeah, but he's running a business out there.
Yeah. But there are some people that move out there just because they want the wide open, you know. And it's pretty amazing. Like at Winfield's, there's a 2-lane road that I've driven past his house and kept going for like 5 miles and it just keeps going. And you go, how far does this 2-lane road go? You know, it just goes off into the hills somewhere, you know? So, but the 600 acres are estimated, and this is just a guesstimate, they're guesstimating about $2.25 million, which doesn't seem like that much to me. Considering,
well, that was just the land value. We don't know what the asking price
is. Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But it doesn't seem like that much to me because of the fact that there are houses on my block that sell for that. And when you look at what you get there versus 600 acres, you know, developed or not developed, it's a lot of in an area that is being done. So pretty interesting.
Well, look, Amelia Hartford, famous YouTuber, actress. She was in Gran Turismo. She's really sweet. She's very nice. I think she had a shop for a while, like right around from Corolla Studio.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her driving her Corvette around there. She just put up a video this past week. She's been meeting with the banks and some investors, and she's really going to try to make a play to try to acquire the track and turn it into a business. And, you know, it requires a well thought out business plan, not just how are you going to come up with the money? It's how are you going to revitalize that track and what are you going to do with it? And how are you going to raise money? And I know it's sort of being treated as a real estate transaction, but it's more than that. It's a business. It's a real estate transaction if you want to smash it down and build houses. But if you want to revitalize the track, it's much more than that. It's a business proposition. So, you know, listen, I think she could probably, you know, I'm rooting for her. I'd love to see her have it. And with the right team, I think they could do some fun stuff with it and bring back some really interesting racing events, larger scale racing events, sports cars.
Well, I mean, you know, the right person doing some innovative things, such as like even making it available for this whole new generation of, you know, influencers and people that want to, you know, drive and test and do all that kind of stuff. Even as we see these, you know, crazy things being done with cars, they could be done out there. And, you know, it's all in how you market it. So, well, good luck. Let's hope it stays. I sure hope it doesn't become high density housing. And I mean, considering it was the first purpose-built race course ever in the United States, it sure would be nice to see it continue on. And you know what, Matt? We should probably take this chance to hear a word from our sponsors.
All right.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, that was great. So we're back. And
so some interesting news now that you know, we've spoken highly about McLaren, and the 720S is certainly one of our favorite cars. And, you know, the company struggled a little bit during COVID. I think they tried to find a buyer for their headquarters and wanted to lease it back as a way of, you know, bringing in some cash. But, you know, look, the company lost about $1 billion last year in 2023, and they've got to come up with ways to expand. As much as McLaren and the bosses over there have always shied away from an SUV, you can't help but notice Aston Martin has an SUV. Ferrari's got theirs coming out. Porsche certainly has a handful.
And they're selling them.
You know, yeah, Lotus has the EV SUV coming out. You know, Bentley, Rolls-Royce, like there's so many of these brands that have been doing it. You kind of have to look at that as a possibility. And now it sounds like they're sort of conceding that may be the case. And they're having some fun with it. They want to call it a shared performance vehicle.
Wait. No, yeah. I thought it was the Ménage à Trois SUV. What? It's not?
Well, we don't know the official name yet, but the category they want is a shared performance vehicle. You get in your McLaren 720S, you can only bring one guest. But a shared performance vehicle means more than one guest. and
your dog and some luggage. And
yeah. Yeah, potentially, yes. But like, I look at the sales numbers from Lamborghini, and that's an expensive. The Urus is an expensive SUV.
I know we live in a very unique area here in Southern California, but I see them everywhere. And I just think, what the hell? You know, I mean, the plates alone, the license plates alone in this state would be like $30,000.
And now, can you imagine the insurance bill?
I know. It's just...
And you don't even have to drive it. The insurance is too much money.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what they come up with, and will it be some sort of plug-in hybrid or some sort of hybrid like they're doing with the Artura, which probably makes the most sense, right? Yeah. I mean, and as far as Ferrari with the Pure Sangue, I think that's debuting with the 12-cylinder, but the idea is to possibly have hybrid versions of that down the line as well. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited because, you know, I'm a big fan of McLaren and everything we've driven of theirs. And I can't wait to see what they do with an SUV. It should be very interesting. I'm sure it's going to be fast, spirited, and handle like there's no tomorrow. So,
and they need to bring in new customers to the brand as well. I mean, their sports cars are cool, and I would imagine people that own the sports cars would be interested in the SUV. Might as well load up your garage with one of each. But will it bring new customers to the brand? And I think it would. I'm sure there are plenty of Urus owners that don't previously own a Lamborghini.
I think you're right. I think there are. And, you know, it gives someone the opportunity to say, hey, it's my driver. You know, I mean, I think that's what Ferrari attempted to do before they came out with their SUV with the FF and then the, help me here, Matt. I can't remember the name.
Lusso.
Lusso. Thank you. It was an L. I couldn't think of it. You know, and, which I'm a fan of those. There's a black one in my neighborhood. No bright work at all. And I just think, wow, that'd be a great daily
drive. I do kind of like those. Yeah,
I do. They're cool. Another car that we've spoke about here on the show that, you pointed out to me something. Now I saw a release that, the GTD Mustang, that Super Mustang, that if you can get on the list, you might be able to choose magnesium wheels. And you said, oh, no, Brad, that was already something they were working on. But you had some insight on that. Why did they choose magnesium on the GTD?
Yeah, so a lot of the cars, so a lot of the cars that were out with the carbon fiber wheels they're very, very expensive to replace and they're getting damaged, especially if you really are hard on the car and track the car. If you do damage a wheel, they're really expensive. And I think people are kind of shying away from, you know, on 4GTs, GT500s, the new Corvette, anything that has the carbon fiber wheels and is driven more than just to cars and coffee. They wanted to go with something different. So that was kind of the idea behind.
Carbon fiber is great. It's lightweight. It's strong. However, in a racing application, it's one thing, but where you're dealing with large fluctuations of temperature, different street variations where you might hit a chuck hole or a curb or something like that, you really have to be careful. However, at the same time, magnesium is a very brittle metal and, you know, can't be repaired. And so,
That's the other thing is like any of the old racing cars that we have with you get the magnesium centers on those BBS wheels from back in the day, you have to send them out to get tested. And if there's any cracks or anything, that wheel is done. So now going to, you know, a similar look, but with the aluminum centers, like the basket weave BBS, like aluminum centers is the way to go. But yeah, something to think about for Bond Speed Wheels, all the GTD owners.
We were talking about that.
Yeah, I'm order like, your car.
I make my version of it just, so that they can order the magnesium, put them on the shelf, and that's for the OE shows and stuff like that. And I think I'll do that. I'll work on it.
And then just make them a nice, exact replica. I'm sure you can get the powder coat to match if somebody's getting the gold or the black or the gray. Well, and
There's a powder coat that you can actually mimic the look of a magnesium wheel that's turned.
Yeah.
You know, they get that weird color.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, we could do that too as an option.
Well, the first 2 years of GTDs are all sold out. So there should be a GTD club, like a Facebook group, and they should band together and order a set of everybody should get their sets of Bond Speed wheel replicas for the wheels. 7,500 people submitted applications for the cars, and I think they were doing 2,500 or 2,000 per year. I'm not exactly sure. Now, they're saying the price is $325,000. Now, I was always told that the price was going to be around $300,000, and there was essentially two options. There was an aero option and a carbon fiber or a performance pack, like the aero carbon fiber stuff with the big wing and like a track pack or aero pack. And they were going to be about $50,000 each. So even when they announced the car, they were just kind of saying off the air, they were just like, expect it to be $400,000 by the time you option.
Well, and most people,
the four GTs were kind of that way too, right? Like
they order them optioned up.
Yeah. You can option them up.
It's very seldom you find one that's stripped down or something like that. And if so, it finds its way to the racetrack. So,
yeah. And I get some people want it without the big wing in the back, but I'm like, I think you just have to get it all in. Especially if you're buying it as a future investment car, we already know that the rarest versions of any 4GT or anything are the fully loaded ones and the special edition cars, the heritage cars, the carbon package cars, you know. And even now, even GT500s, you buy a GT500 at auction at Barrett, Meekum, wherever you're finding it. If it's got the painted stripes and the carbon fiber package, those are still getting a premium over the other models. So yes, you pay more for the options, but you're getting it back on the resale value later if you decide to sell it. Otherwise, you just get a badass car.
Well, along the same lines, we're talking about Ford. There was a deal online that he recently was on a podcast and admitted his Shelby Cobra. This is Jim Farley, this Ford CEO. that back before he was the CEO, still working in marketing, he saw his black Shelby Cobra, I believe his is a 427 car, come up for auction. And he said that he bought it and for $100,000, and he took out a second mortgage to buy it. And, you know, he said people have told him, are you crazy? Are you nuts? And he goes, well, now it's worth seven figures. So,
And he's making a lot more money now than he's CEO for.
He's making like, you know, let's see. He would be making eight figures now, I think. So, but,
you know, that's also a pretty special car, because the one he races, the black one with the hard top on it.
Right, with the hard top.
Yeah, that was the Mickey Thompson's car.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, and because he was telling me about that. Yeah, it does. And he brings it out to the vintage races. We see him up in Monterey, and he shuffles around that car pretty good around the track. He's pretty fast.
And that's awesome that the car is actually getting raced. It's not just sitting in a museum or a garage, you know?
And I think he's got another one. I think he's got like the blue normal Roadster white stripe one. That's another 427. So I'm not exactly sure which one he was talking about, what, as far as mortgaging the house,
right.
But I think he was looking to sell the blue car. And
I heard that he was
Thompson
trying
car.
To sell the blue car. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
he's got some other things too. I think he's got a Lola like racing car and a couple of other things. But yeah, he likes to drive.
Good to be king.
Yeah. So,
hey, I think we can kind of wind things up for this week. Maybe next week Aaron will be back. We can talk about some other things that we had on the slate that we know he'd be interested in. But do you have anything else, Matt?
No, I think I think that's about it. We'll probably maybe bring in a little bit of a recap next week. This weekend is Father's Day, so everybody go out and enjoy that. And if you were in LA, and because you've already listened to this show, hopefully you made it out to the Rodeo Drive Concourse. It's always a really fun
or the event. LA Roadsters Hot Rod Show out in Pomona.
Yeah.
One or the other.
So there was some good events, and I'll be out there. I think Adam Cole is coming out with me, and we're going to be at the Rodeo Drive Show. Or by the time you listen to this, we've already just enjoyed the Rodeo Drive Show.
I used to go every year, and I just driving up there anymore. It's like,
And then
you live
there
closer. You live much closer.
As a matter of fact, I probably should just Uber on over there or park, you know, a mile away and just get the little electric scooter and go, because it's kind of crazy to get around over there. But
I actually considered going this year, toughing it out and going up, but then I found out I had a another event I had to go to. So it's a friend's birthday. So anyways, hey, everybody, we'll be back next week, probably with the whole trio. And that's a promise, not a threat. Thanks for listening to Shift and Steer.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.